In the first century, most people believed that when tragedy struck, it was a punishment, a warning, the judgment of God. They believed that good things happened to good people, and when bad things happened, it was a reflection of your character. Those Galileans that Herod slaughtered, they must have sinned something terrible. Those who died in the tower, they must have angered God. This was the conventional wisdom of the day, and we're not so far removed from this line of thinking in our own modern culture. Tragedy is much easier to stomach when there is someone to blame. So we are called to repent, to be better people, so that maybe next time we ourselves can prevent tragedy. Maybe next time God won't get so mad. Maybe next time we can control the uncertainties of our world. Jesus, in this story from Luke, also calls us to repent, but for something different. Gird your loins, buckle up, I'm getting into it. I'm going deep. I didn't start with a joke, so you know I'm going to have to bring some humor in at some point, right? Jesus calls us to repent of the belief that God is a God who sends violence. God is a God who sends tragedy and death upon those who have sinned. Jesus calls us to repent of making God into a monstrosity whose anger burns white hot at our mistakes and missteps. Jesus calls us to repent of believing that God repays evil with evil, violence for sin. It's interesting that some of us still want a God who takes that kind of vengeance. Some of us may still want a God who gets even. We may still want a God who triumphs over enemies. We don't want a God who washes feet. We don't want a God who loves enemies. We don't want a God who, instead of getting even, stretches out on the cross to be executed. So as the people are asking Jesus whether tragedy is God's judgment, Jesus in response tells them a story about who God really is. Jesus tells a story about a vineyard owner, a fig tree, and a gardener. This is where these three characters in the story may not be who most of us think they are. Number one, previously, it's often been described that God is the vineyard owner, that to the fig tree, we are them, and that three, we're not sure who the gardener is. However, Jesus has a different understanding. Jesus is trying to communicate through this parable of the fig tree that the owner is the world's definition of success. The fig tree is indeed us, and that the gardener is God. See, this fig tree, it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. Fig trees are supposed to produce figs, but this tree wasn't. It wasn't following the rules of a fig tree. And so the vineyard owner comes in, angry at the tree for its lack of production, and calls for it to be completely uprooted, chopped up, and used for firewood. It was good for nothing. It did nothing but take up space. take nutrients from the soil and waste them, take up the vineyard owner's time. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And the vineyard owner was tired of all the taking. He wanted some making. He wanted a fig tree that was a maker, not a taker. But the fig tree is saved by an unconventional gardener. Problem is, though, we still view this story and God through the lens of the vineyard owner, through the lens of a God who punishes us for not doing what we're supposed to do, who sends tragedy and calamity our way when we mess up. We think that God is the vineyard owner, angry at our sin, our lack of production, our lack of fruit. And we see Jesus as the gardener, standing between us and an abusive father's rage. So that has been the church's way of interpreting this parable, saying, give this fig tree one more chance, one more year to get their stuff together. And we miss the point. God, again, is not the vineyard owner. No, the vineyard owner is the judgment of the world. It's the judgment of the world that measures our value in how good we are. If we are all following the rules, if we're all doing what we're supposed to do, it's the judgment of the world that says that our value is in how much we produce for the vineyard owner, how much we profit, how much profit we can make for the person in charge, how much we can put out for families, our churches, our communities. It is the judgment of the world that says, if you're not a maker, then you're a taker and good for nothing. Let's be honest about it. Jesus' words are more about those of a prophet. Unless you repent is not what we want to hear. Sometimes it's what we need to hear. Today's gospel is not about pastoral care. Jesus, to state the obvious, is not acting as a pastor. He's being a pure prophet. Prophets speak hard truths, truths we often don't want to hear. Jesus is looking with insight into the condition of our lives, making a diagnosis and offering a corrective. Prophetic words challenge us. Unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Now is the time to examine the fig tree of our life. Where is our life bearing fruit? Where is it not? Where do we need to spend time, care, and energy nurturing life and relationships? How can we act towards ourselves as the gardener? How can we act towards others as the gardener? How can we act towards the stranger as the gardener does in this parable? We're right to hear urgency and necessity in Jesus' words. This is not because God is the vineyard owner. It's not because God is vindictive, but because life is short, because life is precious and sacred, because God wants you to be the fig tree God has created you to be. Jesus wants us to be fully human, fully fig tree, using the analogy. Jesus is more concerned with why people do not fully live than he is with explaining why people die, tyrants act, or towers fall. Everyone dies, but not all truly live. The poet Mary Oliver states this beautifully in the last line of her poem, The Summer Day. Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Oliver's question is at the heart of Jesus' call to repentance. Her question underlies and guides our Lenten journey. Repentance is the means to reclaiming the one wild and precious life entrusted to us, entrusted to you, entrusted to me. Repentance is the way to life, the way of becoming most authentically who we are and who at the deepest level we long to be and God longs for us to be. What might repentance look like in your life? Ultimately, repentance is about choosing to live and live fully. So choose. And if you have made a wrong choice, choose again. It's never too late. One more year, the gardener told the owner. That is not about time, but about forgiveness, grace, and love, and second chances. God is the gardener. And God is asking today, you and I, so tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Amen.
Amen.